Hey guys, welcome to episode 6 of the After Show UG with me and Adrian. He's looking at me so funny right now. Come closer. Come, let's do this together. We need to be friends. What I did last episode, I did not mean it. I promise. You're still with me.
I took it personal.
Did you now?
I took it personal. I was very offended. But how are you, listeners? It's nice to be back, obviously, episode 6.
It's going to be fun. We are joined again. I think these guys are just now resident podcasters on the After Show. We have Gabe, we have Eric, we have Kalunji. And finally, for the very first time, I have another female with me. Unfortunately, she supports Obama and you. I'm an Arsenal person.
What do you mean, unfortunately? wait, hold
Eric,
up. No. No.
Eric, chill.
No.
Go away. We have Agatha with us.
Hey, guys.
You see, she also says, hey, guys, like me. But this is going to be a fun episode. We're going to do Demon Slayer, right? This episode. Fun stuff. I have a story for you guys, but... we shall talk about that later, but Adrian, how excited are you for this episode?
Of course, Demon Slayer is something that we basically talked about doing a couple of weeks ago, and we actually got a bit of technical issues sometime.
I was going to talk about that. Why are you talking about it now?
Okay.
You like taking over the things that I have to do all the time.
Okay, jumping into Demon Slayer,
I think this guy is always taking over the shit I'm supposed to do. You said I run the show. We're going to run this show.
You guys, we can also feel the tension here. It's not only you.
Okay, guys, well, let Adrian jump into the episode as usual.
Yeah, I think Demon Slayer definitely was among my best anime of like 2020. I think 2019. Was it 2019? 2020. Was 2019, and I think it was the best anime coming out of that year, courtesy of the good visual fights, the story, and most of what talking about Demon Slayer.
Basically, Tad, I think, among the best visual fights from that year, 2019, and the story, looking at Tanjiro as a protagonist of the story. Basically, his parents were killed, they were murdered by demons. He had actually set out to go and I think sell charcoal, because basically they were a poor family, and he was basically like the person who was responsible for bringing back some of the finances to support the family. So
he's a very sad UG star breadwinner. You cannot breadwinner.
Yeah, he was the breadwinner.
Technically, even like you're making this. You're making this seem like it's that's an UG story.
My G, this shit is not serious, man. It is not that deep, my G. It's just anime, man.
When I'm talking about this story, I want our listeners to actually feel what I'm feeling. Like,
what are you feeling? Like,
this shit is straight out of some soap opera. Feel what I'm... What is that nonsense, like, my G?
They should be feeling that sadness.
That is your feelings more, Kalonji.
Kalonji, you need to...
No, guys, we have to agree Demon Slayer was a sad anime. It was a sad anime.
Yeah.
Right from the start to almost the end. Eric, you have something that you want to say. Why are you looking down like that? Wasn't it a sad anime?
As sad as that. Introduced.
It's really sad, Eric. When you look at Tanjiro's story, you feel sorry for him. You relate to what he's going through. But the rest of his family, his two brothers, his mom, his sister, were killed, slaughtered by the demons. He finds his sister has been turned into a demon, and now he wants to find out.
He did not yet know that she had been turned into a demon.
He knew that she had been turned into a
yet.
Demon.
Not yet. At the beginning, no. He was just trying to rescue her, take her to the hospital, try to salvage what is there.
First two episodes, basically, he finds out that his sister is now a demon. So I think I'll set off with you, Eric, because you're holding a mic right now.
And that's the only reason why you started me.
That's
why I'm
apparently.
That's why I'm starting with you. And looking at the point where, which actually was at a turning point in like Tanjiro's story, his parents being murdered,
does that correlate with how the story builds up to
okay, the intro was okay. The intro made sense. The whole issue of how we are introduced to, you know, the breadwinner finding the rest of his family dead. You know, so who am I going to give, you know, the bread that I'm bringing back, who am I giving it to? Yes, so when he rescued, his sister was not technically dead. I think she was the only one who was breathing at the time. So he was trying to salvage the situation by trying to take her to the hospital. That's when she wakes up and then she has turned into a demon and tries to attack him. That's when
I feel like, to me, the turning point was, of course, the deaths and everything. We have seen all of that in
the
anime. People
point
be dying.
Was when he discovered.
People be dying all the time in anime.
Thank you. But I draw
that
honestly. But if we had to sympathize with everyone who dies in the anime, surely.
Don't sympathize and call.
No. Okay. Which one was sad? How about the guy who lost his fiance to the demon that was stealing virgins?
No, Gabriel.
How about the people who lost their parents inside the house?
But still, Eric, the turning
point for this thing is, I feel like
when he discovers that when Giyu discovers that his sister is not fully demon and can protect a human being, that was the turning point.
And we're seeing this badass guy. One thing I liked about Demon Slayer is they real started the proper, what can I call, action at the start.
At
the very start. Not like we see some anime whereby like we have
a
to watch
long
like five
story
episodes or six
before
episodes
we see real
until
action.
We see bad guys coming in, but bad guys came in at the very start when we met Gui.
I think
this is something most anime tend to do, but Demon Slayer did very, very well. Most anime try to get you with the initial action.
Yeah.
They blow you away with the
very
flurry
first
of. I'm sure you remember the start of My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning, right at the start, All Might, they showed some glorious action. And you didn't see a fight again for like 7 episodes. it's just something that most anime do. Demon Slayer seem to do that very, very well.
And I think, Gabriel, now that you're holding the mic, I think from Tanjiro finding out that his sister is now a demon to him meeting, I think, one of the Hashira, Tomioka, I think that was the very first our very first introduction to, like, one of the Demon Slayers, like the official Demon Slayers. That was,
still keep on calling him Tomioka. My
Giyu! It's not Tomioka!
Man, the man is a man of culture.
Like,
if you are a normie, who has problems? It's okay.
I
have to expose my Japanese vocab. I'm here advertising myself. You never know I'm going to get a Japanese. You never know I'm going to get a Japanese scholarship soon enough. So you guys, you have to let me expose my vocabulary.
These are the things that people are going to use, like on their scholarship application. I also did a podcast about Japanese anime.
My extensive Japanese knowledge and culture.
Gabriel, as I was still saying, Gabriel, introduction, like him meeting one of the Hashira. How did Tanjiro feel like him meeting Tamioka and that entire scuffle?
After the whole flashy fight, Tanjiro flexed some big brain. He threw a stone and threw an axe. It was exciting to see.
Yeah.
But after all that was said and done, and Tomioka told him to go and see the trainer. At that point, I feel Tanjiro had a few thoughts going through his mind. He didn't, given normal circumstances, there's no way he would have gone to some random trainer. He would have just gone back home. But he has lost everything. He has no one to go back to. He has nothing. The only thing he has is trying to eat him.
But still, I think what drove our boy Tanjiro throughout the whole season was that he wanted to fix Nezuko. I think that's what drove Tanjiro throughout the whole season. Yes.
Yeah.
So
the
when
urge
we,
to
yeah,
turn her like, back human.
Exactly. So I guess he would listen to whoever is important to do what they are telling him to do, and he would do just that.
And I think at the end of the day, he had extra drive to do what they asked him to because they aligned with his own goals. finding
this guy
MJ.
Like he knew he
his own girls were to fix his
this
sister.
Guy called him our boy. No, let
the guy's sister was doing
like
well.
You personally know that guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so their goals of taking down MJ, the main demon king, the hard guy. You know the guy, Kibutsuji, the guy.
She's an MK, not MJ.
MK even.
No, but he looks like MJ. He looks
yes,
like MJ.
Yeah, yeah.
That's,
okay.
That's the thing.
Okay, well, like, it took us to the point whereby he met this trainer, Uroko Daki. And what do you guys feel from that whole experience that he had? The whole training? You know, he literally took 6 months to cut just a stone.
Trust me, it wasn't six, it was 1 year.
It was a year?
A year.
Oh my God.
Because initially, it was 6 months of training. Then after 6 months, that's when they told him, okay, now you cut. So he took another 6 months, so technically it's a year.
My God,
that
how did you guys feel about like that whole arc?
We got to see him train to become, like, we saw his skills improve, physical skills, and then we saw him learn the breathing styles. Uroko Daki taught him the total concentration breathing technique, which we find out is very important in fighting these demons, and he became a badass basically. So
can I just give a small comment? This girl was supposed to be helping me, Aka. You think I don't want some of that sun to take fire selfies? I'm going to come and join you later on, though. But yeah, we see the whole water breathing technique that Uroko Daki showed him, and
that's when
I think it was
that training was also a bit intense.
Yeah, it was, and that's when actually we start seeing that he has a very good sense of smell.
Yes, because he was literally smelling the traps.
He was smelling the traps.
That's
and
one
he
of
avoided
features.
Most of them.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting to see.
And it's so funny how, like, I don't know if this is just cartoons, like how when he was smelling Boo thingies would be passing in the air, you see Boo lines. What
like Adrian and Gabriel say, the animations were really
the
quality
like
animation.
The visual things that he's actually seeing and like what he's actually smelling.
Yes.
What was like your biggest highlight from that selection?
Or when
Eric, don't roll your eyes again. I know you're about to, but do not. The selection was mad fun for me. I think the part that I like the most, as we usually know, like when people, like billions of people going for something, only like 5 or 10 make it at the end. So we had more than 20 people going for the selection. Only 4 coming out. But me, I don't know, like everything was just fun about that whole. What did you like?
Yeah, so
we meet the, you know, the demon. To join the demon corp, or you know, the soldiers against the demons, you have to go through a selection process. This selection process was actually simple. You just have to survive 7 days inside the forest. This forest was having some special flowers that kept demons inside.
The wisteria flowers.
Flowers. Boy, you know,
I'm a cultured man. I'm from culture.
So,
Japanese scholarship.
Yeah, so.
You have competition now.
Yeah, so inside there, apprentices.
Yeah, let's talk about those girls. Remember when we talked about this, man? Those girls, they creeped me out. You know, at first I thought that these were kids who were trying to help out Tanjiro in their training. Then later on we find out that they are ghosts.
That they are ghosts and they are dead.
And they are dead?
No. What was actually more shocking was when Tanjiro told his master Rokodaki, say hi to.
And he didn't even know this shit.
Then all
the kids that died appeared at the end, like,
this
very
is
creepy.
Why that was. So, this demon had killed his students, right?
Yeah.
But their ghosts had not moved on to the afterlife because the demon was still alive.
Oh.
Yes. So when he kills them, we see that they disappear.
Yes,
that's what happens. Otherwise, that's why they were still lingering.
Yeah, that stuff was very creepy.
Because the thing that killed them was still alive.
I'll keep on telling you guys that thing was creepy. I don't know if it's just ghosts.
I think
ghosts in Demon Slayer. No.
I think in the next 5 minutes we will be rating Agatha's selfies.
For sure.
Be rating how many. We look at each selfie she has taken and give it a rating out of 10. But Eric, from the final selection, I think... obviously, Tanjiro is given a sword.
They are given the swords, but only the people who survive are given the swords.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
If you don't survive, how will you
get that sword if you don't survive? Captain Obvious.
Yeah, so after that is when you're given everything in order to be a demon slayer. You know, the crow for messages and missions.
Let me just talk about this. I'll keep on saying this thing was a little bit creepy. Like, why would you get crows?
Oh, they didn't have phones.
At least pigeons. Pigeons, not crows. Crows are usually associated with... No, listen. Crows
associated okay,
with
fair enough.
Movies and stuff.
What's his name? The lightning guy. Zenitsu didn't get a crow.
Yeah, he got like a little cabot. Oh, no, yeah.
So
let's talk about these characters, by the way. He's just saying Zenitsu. You're too quick for me. This guy wants to take over host duties. I will. Yeah.
I think before we jump into Zenitsu, I think there's a moment after Tanjiro has just received his sword and also the crow for the messages. He sent it to a certain town and he actually managed. This is the first time, like, the very first mission, actually. That's the very first time he learns that the demon that actually was responsible for the death of his family was Chibutsuji Muzan, aka Michael Jackson. So, Christian, let me bring you in. Chibutsuji Muzan, I think when we talk about villain construction, Demon Slayer actually did it well from the build up of learning about Muzan and everything. So how did that affect Tanjiro?
It didn't affect him. He just got to learn that there is a guy, that there is the villain of them all, Muzan Chibutsuji. And he learned that demons could not speak his name. They were very frightened, actually.
Yeah.
Because you remember that when he basically inquired that he was...
It wasn't basically inquired. Like, he had like slaughtered this guy, cut off something.
Yeah, basically. So he was asking. That's
the thing. It's not basic inquiry. Like, you have limbs cut off.
I mean, if we're looking at our man's character, he's a very humble and empathetic man. To him, it was not interrogation. He was trying to find out.
Inquiry. After cutting off my hands, let me inquire.
The demon was very frightened. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah.
So, and that struck him. Struck that. So that's where he gets to know that.
Muzan. And then we head on straight to see the next mission. He goes to a town. He goes on into a town and then he gets that strong sense of smell that we were talking about. He gets this putrid, let me call it putrid, because the way his nose and his face go, it's like as if he was smelling sewage. So like he goes to his town and he finds this guy. And what do we see? Him with a family.
Yeah, that was insane though.
A family.
What's the
It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it didn't like actually add up for him, because he was like wondering how can a person who has actually been responsible for so much blood, so much hatred, be actually having a casual family and
I personally feel it was just a disguise. Because if you even see from the features, there is nothing the family and the daughter shared with him. He had red eyes, they had no more eyes. Up now I still wonder whether that was technically his daughter.
That's actually
his I don't know. We don't have any history.
Me as a manga reader, this is when I come to show.
So, I'm going to tell you about manga things.
Okay. I'm quiet.
Okay. I have just been told now that it was actually his family. Was it an
At least me, from what I've watched so far, I don't know if that was his family. Okay, so during that whole Muzan interaction, we meet... Out of nowhere, these two demons come to help him. And we meet... Her name is, I think, Kamayo. She's like a scientist. So I feel like every anime has a...
She's a doctor, actually.
Doctor kind of.
Yeah, she's a doctor.
Character. So she was... She comes in and she tells him that, okay, now, this is the guy. You have to... If you want me to help your sister... He told her the whole story to do with her sister and stuff. So she was there to help him try to cure his sister, find a way to cure his sister. And that's why we go into our whole story whereby he's given these things that help collect blood from... They told him they wanted blood from who?
From the demon. 12 Kizuki, actually.
Uh-huh. Now let's talk about Kizuki. From the 12... Yeah, from the Kizuki.
Yeah.
And the Kizuki, we later got to find out are like these higher rank demons and stuff.
So this chick, your what's her name again?
Guys, Agatha is... I hope all of you have the same attention that Agatha has in here, because I'm...
Let's get in line. Wait, so...
yeah, so...
So, Kamayo, we find out that she's a doctor, and she's been doing research for years and years on end, and she had found a way to break the Kibutsuji curse. You know the curse where if you speak of the guys, when you mention his name, your cells just destruct. So she had found a way to reverse that, and she had also found a way to turn humans into demons. But the only way that could happen was if a person is about to die and they choose to turn into a demon. And that's how her apprentice...
Do you know how vampires...
Yubushi, what's...
you gave her some vampire sort of vibe there. Like...
The, her apprentice. Someone is tipsy. And yes, and that's how that her apprentice turned into a demon. And then Muzan sends these two demons who claim to be Kizuki, but they weren't. And then they whole fight was epic. To me, it was the most epic fight.
Guys, we almost missed the most epic fight of this scene.
So yeah, we jump into the scene where the best
fight, according to me,
there were two demons.
Boss, Gabe.
But how would you rate that fight over the final fights in Mount Natakumo?
Because those were not actual fights. It was like puppet show versus. This was actual between.
This
the
was
two.
Proper yeah, fight.
It's still the same, is it not?
Wait, first of all, what do you mean puppet show?
Remember, though, she was literally using puppets to fight them.
The one, and only the one was a puppet.
No. Everyone else was a puppet.
Oh, hold on.
And then
so,
the strings. Did they actually have hand-to-hand combat?
We should disqualify puppet technique users that their fights are unreal. All those
Naruto
puppet fight users.
According to all the panelists here, we can vote and be like, which was the best scene?
Yeah,
okay. Best action scene, fair enough.
We're going to vote. Yeah. We're going to have a segment where we're going to vote for which one was our best scenes.
Yeah, but I feel like we really have to jump to Zenitsu, and you know, this okay. Much as you get.
Eric wants to take over the host position. I see you. I'm taking notes. Remember, I want to take this guy off the anime, so. I see you.
I feel noticed.
I just want to
I
tell
feel
you,
seen.
I see you. That,
in the famous words of Kevin Hart, I see you, see me, see you.
So,
so this is what happens. After Tanjiro gets info from, she's called who? Kamayo? Kamayo, that you need to collect blood from demons. He's sent on his next mission about the house that people were disappearing from. So when he's going there, he meets the simp. What's his name?
Simp.
Zenitsu.
Not Zenitsu. Yes. So he meets Zenitsu, who is just being chucked after he proposed.
Yeah.
So he's all breaking down and crying for the babe, like I'll die if you don't marry me and all that.
Yeah.
So then he decides that, you know what, I'm going for the mission. So he goes to the house. Zenitsu realizes that, who am I here? Yet there is a lady. With Tanjiro,
yes.
So he follows along. Then they enter into the house, and that's when he meets the other character,
Inosuke.
Inosuke, the boar head.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, the
boar
head.
And thing.
I have something to say about this whole simp issue, because remember, we had an episode where we talked about simps and stuff. I'm sure you, our listeners, have seen it, have heard it, but I just want to mention and let this be known. Zenitsu is not a simp.
He's a simp. What are you talking about?
Wow. Look at the guy who was simping the last time. He's almost coming from another simp.
He takes a simp
to know a simp.
Okay, my impression of Zenitsu was he's basically... I don't know how the manga writer basically wanted him to come out as a character, but it was kind of a good job the way they actually presented him out. He looks like a coward, and he is a coward. By personality, he is a coward. He's actually very nerdy. And what I liked most about him was that he has an unconscious side which comes out. Yeah, he has like a double personality thing where like he has this other badder side of him that we didn't expect.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I had to choose any of like the
all
best
men in Kampala these days.
that's very unrelated.
That's, but we
have an expert on that. We shall come to her
why
later on.
Wow. that's why you're still single. Anyway, yo,
Did you just call me
Go ahead, remember, remember our job on the after show, actually, our extra job on the after show is to get you a husband.
Yeah, but so, you've not been helping in that.
Wait, wait, first.
I've tried my best.
Go ahead, let's get back in line here.
Yeah,
firstly,
Zenutsai, he was presented proper off. I actually feel like he's a better character, he's better designed than Inosuke. Because Inosuke is a bit
100%.
Weird.
No, let me tell you, do you know why these guys are saying all that? Because Zenitsu is badass.
Zenitsu.
That's what you're saying.
He's badass.
No. Even if he were just a normal guy, yeah, you would still say the same.
And I just want to accept. Point this out. I know you guys have been listening to this podcast, and I've been saying that I don't watch anime movies and stuff, blah blah blah. But after my interactions with these guys, I went and watched the Demon Slayer movie, which we're going to talk about later on.
Yeah.
This is the reason why I like Zenitsu so much. Mm. That guy is bad.
Much as
yes,
he's bad.
He's bad. But let's it's only it's
he's,
that one bloody move.
It's one move, but it's bad. Do you know, like, among
that's all it takes.
That's all it takes for a woman to cheat on you. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. So even a guy, one move like this.
Christian, let me tell you something. The best thing about, like, making, if you're making an anime or a manga, like, the key is, like, simplicity. Like, Zenitsu is so simple. It's just one move.
If you're talking about simplicity,
yeah, it's simple.
No one was as simple and dangerous as Tomioka Jiu. No one. That guy was bloody. That guy was
simple. Tomioka had this entire read about him, this entire aura about him. It seems like he has.
But first, do this shit for me, because so I can't believe this man says Giyu is not simple.
He's not simple. Basically, Giyu has like this entire other side of him that we haven't yet seen. I feel like he has a backstory.
We saw enough.
Let me tell you.
We're talking about simplicity. We're not talking about
Adrian.
We've already seen. Okay, I don't know about you. I don't know about you guys, but this is my opinion about Inosuke, rather Zenitsu. He's bloody when it comes to fighting, and his raw power is legit.
100%.
But the fear mongering is just unnecessary.
That's why we
me.
Don't agree.
Yes,
but I got you.
He bitches a lot.
I got you.
We don't like that, man.
So you guys, don't
when he's supposed to be fighting things, he's crying. What is that about? Our man is there toiling. He's crying as well, but he's killing these things.
And do you know why? Do you know why we should respect this character? It's just from what you guys have just done now. He evokes a conversation to be had about him.
Not this kind. It's for English teacher, but Kawa, let's go.
S for English. I'm not being called an S for
English. Let me show you how invalid that point is. I am going to ensue on a 1 minute conversation about the crows. See, anyone can ensue a conversation. You don't have
no,
to.
No. I'm talking about like the emotions that I'm seeing you guys coming out. Most especially Kalunji, man.
Crows were emotional too. Did you not see the one that cried in Mugen Train? It trusts the intricate thought process.
So, guys, we meet one of the Kizuki when we go on into the missions. And we meet one of the Kizuki, Rui. I see people wanting their Japanese scholarships here now. I see you. Me, it's not simple to me.
Yeah.
So we see a bunch of fights in there. We see Zenitsu almost losing his life, which was so sad. Yeah. We see Inosuke being beaten. I know you're looking at me like that because I'm talking about Zenitsu. Mm. But I got you. I like him.
Yeah, Mount Nataguma, I feel like, to me, was like the biggest. Nataguma. I feel like Mount Nataguma basically was like the biggest highlight of Demon Slayer.
Yes.
Season 1, focusing on Season 1, because we actually get to meet one of like the 12 demon moons. And that was. Okay, Chizuki, but they're demon moons, like when you translate it. And basically, the demon moons, obviously, like you said, are these highest ranking demons. And Rui was like, I think, at first we actually thought it was like among the upper moons, but he actually was one of the lower moons. And we get to see a couple of interesting fights there, Eric, in there. I think Eric can pick out a couple of
highlights from that Natagumo arc?
For me, the highlight of that fight was when Rui took off his own head such that this guy couldn't take it off first.
Like he decapitated himself.
Yes, he decapitated himself said that the sword would not decapitate him. It was so, I was like, wow.
So first of all, like when he took it off, did he actually put it back again?
Yes.
Listen,
then guy, you came and
you know, the funny thing is that, like, during that moment, I thought, you know how to kill demons, you have to decapitate them and everything. Mm. I thought that guy was gone. I thought that this guy now is.
But that doesn't make it.
That's why I'm saying it's the unique beat.
He had killed Akizuki. I was there so excited for him. Oh, it has happened in season one.
Like, yeah. Wow.
But that doesn't make it. Like, basically, when you pull out.
Exactly.
The demon should have died there and then, man.
He did. He decapitated himself, put himself back using strength. And then Tanjiro just felt like you have done nothing.
And this guy's really got hit bad that arc. Like all of them were down. They had to go and even do.
First of all, what's his name? The boar head was knocked out.
The thing that we liked about that whole this whole anime is because these guys brought out their best in the first season, and I think that's why this anime hit.
Yeah.
Because it was too good. They brought out literally everyone. We saw more. What are they called?
I feel like it.
We saw more Hashira. Nah,
it can get.
It can get better.
Because
get
they didn't unleash all the Hashiras.
But we saw
all of them. But power wise, we saw like three.
Yeah.
No, two in the series. Two. Gaio and the lady.
The butterfly. We saw all the Hashira, but
no, but just power.
We're talking about fighting wise. I think
and that's the reason why I like this anime so much, because they showed us bad people right from the start. Not some animes that you have to stole like 30 episodes in and you have to see a bad guy.
One Piece. Wow. One Piece, you have to go for like 200 episodes.
So these guys. So,
200 episodes. He's a bad guy.
This guy.
But wait, have you seen Boruto? Boruto actually, up to right now, we're still waiting for that bad guy.
All these guys, during that fight with Rui at the mountain, they were beaten up so bad. So they had to go and do some rehab and everything. And these guys, do you know the whole time this guy is moving
but did
around
you,
with
Nezuko? Did you guys see how G just walked in and just
proper nice.
Took down...
Are you alright?
All those things. Let me tell you, anything to do with
Tomioka.
Giyu is...
Simple just, man. This is what we're talking about. Simplicity at its finest.
That's
this guy... Wait. Nezuko and Tanjiro were struggling with this guy.
Yeah.
This man comes in. Yes.
And just clears. And that's why we see and the that was about the Hashira. But then later on, we get to find out. We've talked about how badly they were beaten up. Someone even almost died. My best friend Zenitsu. So they go for the rehab and everything. So we get to the point whereby these guys are taken to the Demon Slayer headquarters. The HQ. And we have to just put it in mind that this guy was walking around with a demon on his back.
Yeah.
And very many people were not okay with that. Very many people. We remember Inosuke was not okay with that at the start. When they met at the house with the changing rooms and everything, the drums. He beat up.
Do you guys know that?
Like so many people.
That Urokodaki put a spell on Nezuko so that he die and eat humans. He sees humans as friendly, and rather she sees humans as friendly.
But the only reason,
and other demons as enemies.
The only reason as to why the only reason as to why he did that, or he may have done that, because I really don't remember.
He was
impressed by the fact that Nezuko this chick did not want to do it in the first place.
Yes,
the first demon he was seeing was not, I was like, I'm not Kawa with like eating you or drinking your blood. And like, that's why.
No, the demon was specifically protective of the brother.
Protective of a brother.
Of the brother, not anyone else.
And she really did not.
Sure, did it.
Yeah, so
they go to the HQ.
So they meet all the 9 Hashiras, and we've already said the Hashiras are the bad, the baddest demon slayers. Yeah. And we met a few Hashira who did not like what was going on. They were like, no, bitch, that's a demon. Why are you bringing her in here? No way. And we also get to meet a very good character that we got to meet in the movie. Which was mad. Guys, thank God I watched the movie. I never used to like anime movies, but this movie got me in tears. It got me in tears.
I told these people it was the best anime movie. They refused, but
Among the best. Okay, I haven't watched, so this is the only one I've watched, but But like,
it's not the best.
Now I know. to top it.
Me, I'll tell you guys straight up. Mugen Train is overrated. It's overrated.
Excuse me. This is someone. You're talking to someone.
Yeah.
Who is a self-proclaimed critic? Self-proclaimed. Like I know myself. So if I'm telling you that this no movie that there's few movies that evoke emotion from me and yeah. I was crying by the end of Mugen Train, so don't judge.
Let's actually jump into Mugen Train now.
Before because we've got to know that
yes, without a doubt I can say both the My Hero Academia movies.
Yes.
Blood D.
They beat Mugen Train by far.
Yeah.
Maybe this is because I just have to watch those anime and movies later on.
Same here.
Like you get after there's few things that make me cry. I know I'm an emotional person all the time. Like I just be crying at anything. Yeah. But like you feel me, yeah? You feel me. But the emotions were high. Just
do you know,
right
do you know,
from the
do
beginning.
Do you know why you felt
and
sad?
Why?
Was because Tanjiro was bitching.
No, and it's not.
I'm telling
it
you.
It is not because
he was
of that.
Crying.
This
You've
Hashira,
just thrown a spear
no, no.
over a sword. Was
no,
it a
chill,
sword or
chill.
Something?
It's not because of that.
And is there a bitching? Instead then, of chasing the Kagai,
no,
the sun has come. Chase him, hold him, and the sun burn him to a crisp.
It is not that. Let me tell you the reason as to why I felt. You guys know I hadn't yet watched the movie, yeah? And this anime ended, the first season ended when we were seeing them going jumping onto the Mugen Train and stuff, eh? It's Rengoku. From the beginning, I knew. And the reason why I told you guys I paused on watching the movie was because I knew that there's some emotion that's going to come out. I don't know why I was so attached to Rengoku. When I saw him at the end of the series, I was like, this guy is going to make my heart bleed. And it did at the end. I know.
Those big eyes. It was those big bright, what they call, full of hope and motivation. Like, shit.
You had a crush on Rengoku.
I probably had a crush on Rengoku. No. I probably did. And it was just a few seconds that we saw him for in season one, yeah? Just a few minutes, I think. His scene. And then at the end.
He didn't even speak much.
Eh? But like guys, I don't know why. I think it was just a deep cry when I saw. So we get to see of Mr. MJ. He's like, these guys are being bad. Let me call all you Kizuki. I see if you guys are kawa. Like I'm telling you to do shit and you're not doing shit. Let me slaughter all of you. And then we see this one guy who's. I feel like now that is the definition of a simp. He's like, I want to
die. I was like, me, I even envisioned to be you to kill me. This guy was impressed. Kawa, let me inject you with more of my blood.
So he gave him more. This thing that turns all these people into demons is Muzan's blood art. So he's like, let me give you some more of my blood. And you go and kill this bitch. Go and kill this bitch. Go onto this train. That's why we get the Mugen train coming in.
Yeah.
And it was mad. Guys, I'm getting the emotions back now. Quarter. As I'm going to stop crying.
I think talking about Mugen Train, Gabriel, let me bring you in here. Because Mugen Train, obviously, that demon that actually survived the Muzan massacre, as I call it,
yes.
is sent to actually go after Tanjiro and actually try to kill Tanjiro.
He was given orders to end the nigga.
And obviously, Tanjiro had actually gone to the train. Tanjiro went to the train to meet Rengoku, Choshiro, and actually to find out more about the blood, that technique called the Brother Sun or the Dancing Sun. That move of theirs that he was trying to learn about.
This is the reason why I got so attached to Rengoku, because now we got the story whereby they were telling Tanjiro, this guy is the one who's going to tell you why your dad used to dance around in the night and fire things, wire and funny things.
He was mob sick, but he was dancing around in the night,
being a night dancer with fire things. Like, this is the guy who's going to tell you what that meant. And I think that's where the attachment came from.
I feel like you're taking this too personal, Ivy. Gabriel, let me bring you in. What were your your biggest highlights from Mugen Train? Obviously, me, I watched the movie. It was average for me.
No.
But
what were like your biggest highlights from Mugen Train?
The biggest highlight for me. Yeah. Yes, a lot of flashy things happened throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of exciting things went on. But the biggest highlight for me was the final fight at the end.
Between the Chizuke, the third moon and and Choshu.
Now, before, yes, the entire fight was nice.
Yeah.
But the beginning bit, when we were just feeling each other out, that was the best part for me. When they were testing each other a bit.
Yeah, me, I actually feel like the entire train saga wasn't nice at all. It was until we actually got to that fight.
How can you forget when Rengoku told them, you know what, you handle the back cuts, you handle the
and you know
back,
you
handle
guys...
the middle one.
Christian, Mugen Train, I think you have the same opinion as me. How overrated it is, but you as a manga critic, what did you like about Mugen Train?
The only thing I liked about Mugen Train was the animation. Anything other than that, you know, I expected Rengoku to take down this guy without breaking his weight.
But
okay, we know he's a member, and that's the reason as to why. No, we get
Ryu was number four.
He was among the lower moons. Yeah, yeah. People were mistaken that he was actually up of the part of the upper moons, but
he was a lower moon. He was a lower moon, 100%.
Now, if Rengoku, the head man, couldn't take down this.
No, but listen. Now the reason as to why
he was supposed then he died man. What the hell is that?
The reason as to why I'm saying like we should.
Yes.
No, but at the least, reason
at
as
least
to why
die
I'm
with the villain. Die with him.
The man died
and he didn't even kill the guy. Now what was all that flashy animation?
I thought that guy was a bitch. Because we know he ran away in the end.
Because of the sun.
But
you wanted him to stand
away.
In the sun. No, you don't get it. A Hashira is a Hashira.
You need someone to get it.
A Hashira dying
get how blooded is. Someone gets this blood moon guy.
No, but it plays very well into season 2 that... This
someone
man, season 2,
can you just understand
we'll
that a human can get
that
dead?
Tanjiro
however much is a Hashira,
against this
however much is a bad man, he can get dead.
You
do realize even that's what he told him. Well, yeah. That's how he was trying to convert him. He was like, you're human. After me, I get healed, chap, chap.
Yeah.
Yes. Technically, you have to understand.
But you still know that these
but
people
still,
are still human-ish.
The hard guy, Rengoku, the one you're crushing on, Major, died, weak-ass nigga.
No, and what I'm telling you is that that
Urokodaki wouldn't have died.
He was a tired man.
He wouldn't have died.
No.
Urokodaki cast spells. Can Rengoku cast spells? He can't. Bring me evidence.
Wait, are you actually now?
Yeah, I support Christian on that side because Urokodaki was actually the former water pillar. He's actually very legendary, and most of his students actually have gone on to be.
This team was literally toying with what Rengoku.
Yeah, all
nothing was working.
Actually,
nothing.
Christian, you actually said something interesting, and that was talk about season 2. How we're actually feeding into season 2, and I think I want to start with Eric. What are your expectations for season 2? What do you expect after Mugen Train?
Okay, I think for me, I just know that we need a
Muzan fight to real see
is that we need a Muzan fight because I need to know
if his general number 3 took down
like
Rengo, what do you
I just need to know that. I need to know that. Like, I just need, we need, and then you guys need to appreciate Zenitsu more. So that guy needs to be bad more.
That's what you expect from season 2.
Yeah. And then Tanjiro needs to do more because I feel like, Tanjiro was the protagonist and everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and the thing that I liked about Demon Slayer is because everyone had a story. It wasn't really like focused on Tanjiro much. Everyone had a story. And like it was mad dope, so I feel like they need to elevate his character more. I don't know how.
They are going to, obviously. Yes.
I don't know how. Yeah.
It's obvious.
Well, the way Christian, you've actually just said. Christian.
I feel like now they're going to make Inosuke like one of his very close friends a demon.
It will be Zenitsu. So that.
No.
He has my thinking. So that
conspiracy.
He becomes like pivotal. He becomes the balance. Because when he's asleep, he's a demon slayer. But when he's awake, he's the demon that has converted. Think about it.
that's yeah. I'm seeing it coming to life
your,
in my head.
Your ability,
yeah. Yeah. Your expectations. Okay.
But I feel like they would make if I was them. I know they would make Inosuke like a demon.
So I think for season two, yeah, there's going to be a lot of juicy exposition about the pillars because they have to show us someone else.
Yeah.
If you saw the trailer, the small teaser, I think it's going to be the sound one. And they're going to the entertainment district.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good times. Hopefully there won't be some flashy.
Yeah, I don't want to like reveal a lot, but all I can tell you guys.
Anything from the
no, I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Whatever this guy says, I don't want to reveal a lot. Yo, just remembering.
Like what I'm saying is that obviously just expect a lot out of season two.
You know, rookie or demon slayer. Yeah. One when the
It's too low.
It's too low. We need to like get better demon because we are losing the war.
Manevi looks like a crazy person. She's like she's coming up with so many theories, conspiracies. But
and I like this is the reason as well.
Attack on Titan was going on.
Yeah.
And this was the whole basis of getting this podcast up and running.
You're too geeky right now. Yeah. You know, you're sounding so geeky. Yeah. But guys, it's been a wonderful episode. Ivy, don't you agree?
Yeah.
It's been 100%. Nice.
I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's been nice.
Maybe it's because Kafunda Wild and Spirits came into this building today.
Yeah.
Somehow, please follow them on Twitter and Instagram. They are making me happy right now. The reason as to why I'm happy
right
now.
You just have to shout out. Give a shout out to our brother IT guy. You know, Hops, like our sponsor on the podcast.
But man, the reason as to why I have that laptop that I'm using to edit this podcast is because of Adro, the IT guy,
computer accessories, IT support and consultancy, everything like technical. You know, Adro, the IT guy is your go-to guy. So guys, it's been nice, obviously, catching up with Gabriel, Christian, Eric, and obviously Agatha with a camera. It's actually. We did our ratings.
The selfies.
She should show us a couple of selfies right now and we actually determine which rating it's in.
Drum roll.
Christian's actually going to rate Agatha's selfies.
But the selfies.
Okay, we see the first selfie right here. Some sunlight getting in real nice.
Real
tongue
nice,
sticking
real
out.
Nice.
Tell us, Kalonji, smash up us.
The glow is immense. The glow is immense. Another one's opinion. Oh, Gabriel, first do it.
I believe that tells us all we need to know. The man is very pleased with the photos.
Yeah, so guys, be sure to check out this episode on Anchor, Spotify, AFCloud, Apple Podcasts. We're all there. And
don't forget to follow us on our social media. We are the After Show UG